Well, thankful again this morning for this opportunity to get together again as to see what God is for us. Again, I've been blessed by the service. God has been good to us this past week again. His faithfulness has been evident and real. It's the conclusion I have when I wake up in the morning and feast on His Word and think about the day, maybe at the end of a day, and just have to say that's what it is. When one walks with Christ, it is, even though we go through things that maybe be hard at times, we can still say God is good. This morning, I felt led to preach a message. The title I have this morning is Honorable Conduct That Glorifies God. For a text this morning, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to read from verses 11 to 25. Conduct, our daily walk, our spiritual walk is, we could say, our faith and belief in Christ and our love for Christ puts our spiritual walk, our everyday living in reality to those that see and witness our lives. And that's why it is so important that our conduct exemplifies Christ in all that we do and say. We'll read these verses. We'll start at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. But as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if and when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I'm so grateful and thankful this morning that we can face life with this wonderful example of Christ in how to conduct our lives and to live honorable lives that exemplify Him. In this passage, Peter mentions conduct that is considered commendable or honorable before God. In verses 19 and 20, this kind of conduct is referred to twice. Verse 19, it says that, for this is thankworthy. And then in verse 20, it talks about when we suffer patiently, or suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's where the challenge can come in difficult times, when we are thankful even during them times, and we look to God for the strength. And the blessing that we can experience through that is God accepts conduct that is thankful and joyful, and gives him when we are surrendered to him and his will in what we go through. These two words mean to find favor. Find favor with God. God loves and he sees conduct that exemplifies Christ in how we relate to each other and the different circumstances that we face in life. I'd like to just briefly look at 3 points this morning. And the first one is in a question. What is honorable conduct that glorifies God? And why Christian conduct is considered honorable? And how can we be sure to have this honorable conduct that glorifies God? The first point here I have is, what is honorable conduct that glorifies God? I believe we can see numerous ones in this passage, and I just like to point them out. In verse 11, it is conduct that is pure, it's clean. It talks about abstaining from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Keeping that line clear, separate from ungodly deeds or things that would war against the soul, would not have any place in Christian conduct. We abstain from that. Keep it clean, keep it pure. The next one I see is in verse 12. Honesty in faith and in practice. A walk that lines up with your talk. It meshes together, and it shows it's not a put-on thing. It's the way it is in your life because you're honest about it. Matthew 5, verse 37 clarifies this. It says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So we need to be honest in how we relate to one another, and that is to the world around us. Our word is our word, and it needs to be sanctified. Conduct that submits to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake is found in verse 13. Submit yourselves. Submission is to every ordinance of man. And that's in church life, in relating to the authorities that God has placed over us in our life. Conduct in verse 15, conduct that is surrendered to the will of God, willing to serve. I believe this goes a lot with the previous, or the one before that, in submission. Have a surrendered heart to the will of God. When we do this, we can be victorious through difficult times. We can do things that God can help us to do things that we cannot do on our own strength. And then in verse 17, honorable conduct shows honor to all men. Honorable conduct that glorifies God will love the brotherhood. It will also love those who are poor and needy around us. Honorable conduct will also have a reverential fear of God. We will be fully aware every moment of the awesome God that we serve. And our desire and motive should be to please God and to honor him in all areas of life. Honorable conduct before God will also show honor to the king, those whom God has placed in different roles of authority, and that is even in society, the governments of our land. We show respect. where respect is due, and we honor what where God has placed these men in different roles. Verse 18, those whose conduct is Christ-like will suffer patiently, for even when mistreated for doing good. This is easier to say that we can do than in actual being able to do this. Those who make life hard or miserable, are you willing to suffer for Christ's sake patiently? Show them love, compassion, just like Christ did. I just briefly went over some of the way Christ worked with people, and it just seems like the bar is high, but and yet it is attainable through Christ. And the wonderful blessing that we can experience and we can say that God is good is when we come through them times and we can see God's faithfulness in giving us peace and victory over our temptation to anger or whatever it might be when we are treated wrongly. Notice this example in verse 18. A servant is trying hard to serve his master. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Those who worked out with ungodly men. I'll just give you an example of when I was a young man working out in the logging camp. This man was known for it. Somebody had told me one time that he tends to, even though you have a time clock to enter your hours, this man tends to try and knock them hours back. And he pulled in on my site where I was working, topping trees one morning. The man I was working for, topping trees for, was putting in longer hours than a lot of the other operators that were there, because he was just a contract operator. And this man knew that, but he come and told me one there that your hours are too many and I'm going to be cutting them back significantly. That was hard for me. I felt like I hadn't done anything wrong because I felt I was very careful and honest in how I did that. And I explained that to him. But I said, I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to do anything about it. When payday came around, it was what it should have been. He didn't take any hours off. I don't know if he was trying me out or what, but honorable conduct is not to get all upset and worked up over things that really are not of value. If more value is, we need to place more value on faithfulness to Christ and to be honorable in the way we relate to these things. Being faithful to God. A servant does, even if we are mistreated, a servant toward his master, we still need to treat them well. Those who are forward, pray for them, love them. This is where the call for us to go the second mile becomes real. The servant that in spite of his mistreatment shows kindness, patiently and submissively endures mistreatment. When you show love and respect in return, this honorable conduct in the sight of God, show honorable conduct in the sight of God. This is a blessing. God will bless you for it. It will, if you want to have any opportunity to witness to this person, it will be by doing that. By putting your back up and trying to argue about something or trying to give a reasoning will often work the opposite way that you want it to go. So show kindness. It is not simply just suffering patiently that is honorable, but rather suffering patiently when you did good or were kind and yet are abused for it. This is what is acceptable with God. This is when love is put to the test, and yet God will honor that when you do that. Does this mean that this only applies to servant-master relationships? No, I do not believe it does. It applies to all relationships. I'd just like to read a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Having good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Our duty is to be kind and to be faithful and respectful to those who mistreat us. And notice what it does. God has ways of bringing these men to their needs. And it says they will be ashamed that falsely accuse your conversation. And that kind of suffering is well worth it, because there is rest in that. Peter here, I believe, was speaking to the brethren in general. Brotherhood relationships. We are to show honorable conduct to any situation where we are told to submit. Relationships to governments. 1 Peter 3, verse 1, in a wife's relationship to her husband. In our relationships to one another. Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So whenever we do good and suffer for it, to endure that suffering patiently is honorable conduct that will glorify God. It's not something that comes easy. In fact, it can seem almost really hard to do at times. Our natural instinct is to resist and defend when we are in the right and being mistreated. To appreciate why patiently enduring suffering while doing good is honorable before God. Let's look at the second point, which brings us to our second point, why Christian conduct is considered honorable before God. We are called here for this very purpose. Let's consider what it says here in verse 21 and 20 to 23 here. For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Who then, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to that which, to him that judgeth righteously. I believe one thing that makes it much easier to face the hard, difficult times of mistreatment or whatever it might be, or false accusation or whatever it might be in life that seem hard, when our focus is on God and we allow God to be the righteous judge in these issues, no, it's not for us to do. Our duty is to always show kindness and love. And our goal should always be, especially if it's one who does not know God, is to reach out to them and show them hearts of compassion. Oftentimes when people react in a way like that, they're hurting people that hardly know how to relate rightly. I clearly remember a man coming into the bakery when we had it, and he was rude. And he was unkind the way he related. And it bothered the girls when they told me about him. But I was in there one day when he came in. And I just, after he was sort of the same way that morning. And I tried to tell the girls, said, we don't know what's going on in his life. He's probably hurting. And you know, it wasn't much longer after that. We just related to him kindly and called him by name when he came in the store and acknowledged him. And you know, it wasn't real long, and he became pleasant. And I found out later that yes, he was a hurting man. He had just moved into the area and is married for, I think he said, almost 40 years, and his wife left him. So he was hurting. He was trying to find, he was a man that was suffering and didn't know how to relate to it. This is where we need to be patient and long-suffering and witness. Leave a witness. Relate to him in a kind way. This is where we're called to do. That speaks so loudly to those who are struggling. Notice in these verses, verse 21 to 23, what Christ is willing to do to suffer on our behalf. He, of anybody, didn't deserve what he faced. Ridicule, crown of thorns on his head, spitting in his face, being beaten and treated horribly. None of us, I don't believe, have even come close to that kind of suffering. And yet, it says he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He was meek and mild. His life, the more they did to him and the more compassion he showed to them, spoke loudly to them. We as Christians are called to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus, as he suffered patiently when mistreated without a cause, should motivate and prompt us to do the same. Let's remember what Christ went through for us. I believe that helps us through the difficult times, and we are faced with that in our own lives. Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22 says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. This kind of a response is honorable conduct that glorifies God. And in return, God will reward thee for your kindness. What is some potential good that can result from this kind of response? Let's look at 24 and 25. Just notice what Jesus accomplished by his patient forbearance to the mistreatment done to him. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. We can be thankful that we are healed because of what Jesus did for us. It says, for we all were like sheep going astray. We had nowhere to turn. We were at our wit's end. And now, what a wonderful thought. And now are you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That was Jesus' desire in suffering and what he wanted. The forgiveness of our sins, the restoration of a lost straying sheep back to the shepherd, safely within the fold. By following Christ's example, we can have an effect for good. Also, returning good for evil, we are more likely to overcome evil that we are faced with, those that treat us, mistreat. Romans 12, 19 to 21, I just like to read that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So let's just take that simple admonition and apply it to our lives and the things that we face. That will be acceptable by God, and he will bless you for it. By responding to mistreatment with kindness and humility and love, we are more likely to help bring about change to those who persecute us. For they are often ashamed when they see this patient endurance and kindness in return. You know, there's many people and accounts in the Martyr's Mirror where people stood faithful right to the end when their lives were burnt at the stake. And there's many people found their way through Christ by that honorable conduct and faithfulness to God, being mistreated and even meant their life. Are you willing to go that far? Then people clearly understood the reward that was awaiting them for their faithfulness. Let's keep our focus on our eternal goal. Just as we're moved and touched by what Jesus is willing to suffer to save us, in return it should motivate and compel us to show this kind of compassion to those who also need a Savior. How can we be assured? Point number three, how can we be assured that our conduct is honorable in giving glory to God? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12-14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Knowing that we are blessed in the sight of God as disciples and suffering for Christ. Example of Christian conduct that is honorable. Resist the temptation to retaliate. Young people, I'd just like also to look at 1 Peter 5, 5-7. This includes you too. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is all ages. We are all called to have honorable conduct before to glorify God. May we put our faith and trust in God's divine care. Rely on God, suffering patiently when mistreated. For doing good does not always bring immediate satisfaction. Sometimes we need to forgive and forgive and forgive again and again. But God does give you a clear conscience and a rest when we always respond in a right way. We must therefore trust God, believing that his will is best. And if our Christ-like behavior does not change the behavior of those who have wronged us, God will one day do what is just and right, because he understands the situation much better than we even do. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, it says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And then Romans 12, it talks about, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We leave that in God's hands. Our duty, let's remember, is to always do our part in winning souls, and that is to be kind, especially to those who mistreat us. In conclusion, rejoice in what Christ has done for you. Resist evil. Respond to God's will for you. rely on God's goodness and grace to help you. This will bring about honorable conduct that glorifies God. I just come across a quote that really has blessed me. It says, "May I never appear as though I live a perfect life, but always reflect what it looks like to be carried graciously by a perfect God." May God add his blessing.